Stoicism. In Stoicism, happiness is the prime virtue to attain in life. One attains happiness by living and acting in accordance with ratio, rational or logic thinking. To act in ratio, one must curb excessive emotions that lead to loss of virtue or unvirtuous behaviour. Pliny's most notable examples of Stoics are the philosopher Euphrates, who uses rational logical thinking and is also very wise, and the woman Arria, whose methods and actions towards her husband are very Stoic in nature in terms of curbing excessive emotions. Pliny is not a true Stoic, however, because he admires the characteristics of Stoicism but cannot manage to implement them into his own life. And examples are 314 and 816 of his letters.
With Epicureanism, the main beliefs are centered around living a life free of pain, which is called ataraxia, and they achieve this by getting rid of all temporary pleasures and not searching for them, as this causes desire, which is the main root of pain. And in Epicureanism, they believe that the main temporary pleasures were greed, which brings fear of robbery, like the money hoarder in Horace Satire 1.1, who can't sleep because of his fear, and gluttony, which causes obvious physical imperfections, and indigestion, like sticky phlegm, which is mentioned in Horace Satire 2.2.
A notable strength of Stoicism is that it addresses processes that lead to actions, thereby preventing the actions from occurring by stopping the mind wanting to act that way. But the weakness in relation of Epicureanism is that it addresses actions, and so is only a repression of the symptom rather than a refinement of the cause. A notable example of this is Arria, because Arria refines her mindset so that she can choose to be quite emotional on her own, but choose to be quite unemotional, or at least refine her grief when she's around her husband, because that'll benefit him as well as herself, because her husband would be very sad knowing that his son will die. But she's also helping herself by repressing her grief for the son who's died, and also the husband who will die soon. So here, the addressing of the process as opposed to the action is that Arria can choose when to be emotional and when not to be emotional. She doesn't have to stop herself being emotional altogether. She can be flexible.
But with Stoicism, as you're addressing the mindset, you have to devote yourself to teaching yourself that way of thinking, and you lose a sense of individual freedom. Especially with Arria, it seems that you get a loss of emotion at some points as well, as she does not show emotion when with her husband and does not inform him of the son's condition, which isn't natural at all, which is completely opposite of Epicureanism, which is a lot more natural in the way that in Horace 2.2, you have to work and you play sport until you're famished, and then you only go to the simple foods and the simple drink, like bread and water, which gets rid of the temporary pleasures, so it's a much more natural way of living.
As I've emphasised before, Arya's actions aren't restricting her. She's choosing whether to have grief in one sense, and she's choosing whether to repress it in the other sense, in the other room, literally. And that's the thing, that she's almost got a utilitarian method, because she's saying that her husband's grief, when he's about to die, may be natural, but it's cruel, and it's not right, and it's more harmful than the grief that she has. So it seems that she can repress that in order to help her husband, save him from dying a very sad death.
But as I've been trying to emphasise before, the problem about Stoicism is that it's just not a natural mindset. To having to change your mindset to curb excess emotion, it's not natural. And with Epicureanism, especially with Ophelus in Horace Satire 2.2, as he is living from the land, it's all very natural, and you don't lose that sense of emotion or freedom or personality even. It's just a natural way of living.
Well, you said before about the mindset, and the only way to change the actions is to change the mindset, because with Horace already has the mindset of Epicureanism in order to stop eating rich food that makes him ill or gives him a fear of robbery if he has a lot of wealth. He already has that mindset. Gluttons who don't have that mindset beforehand won't take that course of action. They will take the course of action where they can eat rich food and amass a lot of wealth. And so the only way you can really be like Horace or be like a Stoic is if you have that mindset in the first place. And Stoicism changes that mindset. And it seems that with Horace, actually, that Horace uses ratio to come to his conclusion and to come to his mindset. So really, he's using a form of Stoicism to try and get to this mindset that he has. I'll bring to Aristo now, Aristo is one of Pliny's friends who has gout and probably would die of it in a few months from the course of the story, but he's chosen to commit suicide because using a logical thinking, when he's using his rational thinking, he's concluded that killing himself would be much more beneficial to him and his family, because if he kills himself, if he commits suicide, he won't suffer as much when he dies. He can just die then, and his family won't see him suffer. And so it's a much better way of living, really, in a Stoic way, because he's done what's best for his family and for himself by using the rational thinking, by using the Stoicism. It doesn't really matter about restricting anything, because that's what's best for everyone. Nature doesn't really come into it here. Nature is quite harsh in some cases. It may be helpful in some cases, but it's quite harsh and cruel and indifferent. And so, at least with Aristo, he's doing what's best for his family.
You say that nature's not important, that everything comes down to nature, and this is proven with Epicureanism, that you work and you play, and then you're satisfied with the catasmatic, constant eternal pleasures of the bread and the water. And it's a lot easier way of living life, because everything is so natural, and you don't have to go spend so long trying to master the mindset of ratio, which Stoicism talks about. So, of a pinnacle of this, someone who's living in a catasmatic life, is that of a Phelous, as I mentioned before. Horisatai 2.2 lives a life free of pain, lives ataraxia, just through his land and his dinner parties, and he makes all of the right decisions, and it's just a mindset which has come to him through living life. And in summary, that's a lot more natural, Epicureanism. And with Stoicism, it just seems unnatural.
And conversely, Aristo seems to sum up best Stoicism, because Aristo looks at the face of nature, he looks at the face of oblivion, really, as he's going to die. And he says, I'll put it on my own terms. So I'll use my rational thinking, I'll put death on my own terms, that I'll die when I choose to. And he is defying nature, but he's really making himself happier, and he's making his family happier, because his family won't have the pictures of him dying a horrible death. They'll have the memories of him dying a peaceful death, because he's done it on his own terms. So really, Stoicism puts the power and control into the hands of the self.